Have you ever been sat in a Mexican restaurant minding your own business, eating tacos whilst blind, and then a group of thugs burst in the joint murdering people, and you're seeing eye dog, only to then be saved by a recently horrifically mutated gym janitor turned goopy superhero?
No.
Me neither. But after watching today's film, let me tell you, if I did, and if that did happen to me, I would gladly move to the toxic waste dump and spend my days taking irradiated rope. Get it? It's from the POV of his blind girlfriend. Some would say a truly unique POV.
I mean, that's
seen as she's blind.
Just watching it with the monitor off. But yeah, okay.
In it. Volume loud. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. That's right, we're talking The Toxic Avenger, the original one from 1984, not the brand spanking new one that you should definitely go and watch immediately. Today's episode is a little different in that it is essentially live because yeah. It is 10 past 8 p.m.
Yes.
On the day of release.
On launch day.
On launch day when we release at 11 p.m. So it's coming thick and fast.
What I love about this is we are covering a B-movie.
Yes.
You are the B-movie king.
I'm the trash rat.
The trash rat.
I'm the trash rat, yeah.
You are the raccoon at the bin at the back of the cinema.
Trash panda wallowing through a bakery oven.
And we've sort of committed to almost a kind of like life imitating art. We're making a B podcast today.
So my definition of a perfect movie.
Right, yeah.
See?
This is your definition of a perfect episode.
This is what it is.
It's being recorded. I mean, it's going to be a 90-minute record, and it's going to be published in 92 minutes. So,
yeah. You're welcome, world.
Could have just
enjoy
live-streamed
this. Yeah, it would have been mint. But I'm glad that we think about that 10 minutes after hitting record. Before we get to what we're doing properly, how you doing, buddy?
Oh.
That sounds not good.
How are you, bud?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Fine.
Oh, look at... Oh, hoity-toity, king of the castle.
I'm fine.
Oh, look at you with your one lung and your knot problems.
I mean, it's not that they're not problems. I've got a new philosophy on life.
Right.
So, the worst of the worst can happen to me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Because I can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
As and when it hits me.
Right, okay.
But if it hasn't hit me yet, I'm not going to sit around and stare at it and go, why aren't you making me sad? And then when I get sad, go, oh no, I'm sad. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to take my time with it. I'm going to process it naturally, and then I'm going to make the most out of every situation I'm in.
Okay. No, that's good. That sounds like you've learned and grown.
I'm trying to.
I'm learning and growing, and it's horrible, and I hate it.
Sucks ass, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, shit.
I'm all in my feelings. I was browsing, so there was a short clip of somebody, it was a meme, it was a Spider-Man meme.
Aww.
And it was, somebody went, oh, Peter Parker, the quote was, Peter Parker would be nothing without his powers. And then somebody had put underneath Peter Parker without his powers, and it was the clip from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man where Tobey Maguire goes into a burning building. And I cried. Aww. I cried at a Spider-Man meme.
But that's true, though. Do you know what I mean? Right. That's real. Like, I feel that.
I'm listening to Carrie Fisher's audiobook, The Princess Diaries.
I bought that the other day, the actual book, though.
It's incredible.
It's incredible,
but I keep crying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's Princess Leia.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine. What, I've had it on my shelf for like a week.
Honestly, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. So,
I can imagine so.
Yeah. I'm fragile. You're thriving. Mm-hmm. I'm not jealous at all. Shall we sum up the show a little bit?
Yes, we should. Honestly, I feel like I'm sneezing sometimes, but it's just words fall out and go, feather. And I'm like...
It's a podcast.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that. Okay, cool. Yes, let's sum up the show a little bit. We're going to be talking, how is the Toxic Avenger 1984 aged?
Like a fine milk.
Yes.
Lloyd Kaufman's thoughts on Toxic over the years. Who is Lloyd Kaufman? Is he the guy that did... Who would live in a home like this? Oh, no.
No, he's Mr. Troman. He's like... Yeah, that's Lloyd Grossman.
Yeah. Lloyd Kaufman doesn't have a range of pasta sauces then.
No, but if he did, they'd probably taste better.
Okay, fair.
Because Grossman's
fair.
A wank, and I'll fight anyone that says any different. I don't care. They're shit.
What else are we getting up to?
How I, Ben Groves, I'm going to save the MCU.
Do you know what? I had Paul Feig on the phone the other day, and he was like, have you got Ben's number? And I'm like, not really, bud.
No.
We don't really chat.
Not for you.
Not for you. We're going to get into the timeline of the Toxic Avengers rise to cult classic stardom.
We're going to get into why B-movies now.
And if there's any time left, which it's sounding like there may not be, What does this film mean?
What does it really mean? There'll be time.
Okay.
These aren't well fleshed out. They're just things. They're things. Before we have an emotional breakdown, it's weird me saying this and you actually being emotional. This is odd. Before we have an emotional breakdown, we're going to get into a breakdown of the movie I've written this week's. Would you be a darling as to read Act 1 and 3 for me, please?
Of course I will, and you've written lovely act titles.
So I have.
I will read them as well.
Thank you.
Act 1. Before, spoiler warning, by the way, if you've not seen this film from 26 years ago. 21 years ago?
1984?
Yeah.
It's 2025. It's literally 41 years ago.
Okay. Okay, my math isn't my strong suit.
Dude,
you've
I'm
had
with
41
you.
Years, all right? This is your spoiler warning. Act 1, geek gets nuked. Meet Melvin, a mop-wielding, acne-ridden gym janitor who makes that guy who buys used socks online look like James Bond.
Yeah.
I mean, no kink shaming.
No.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, just... Ugh.
Gross.
After being pranked by a group of sadistic gym rats, he swan dives out of a window and lands smack into a vat of toxic waste. Because in Tromaville, hazardous material is driven around exclusively by drunk cocaine fiends.
That is a truth fact.
I mean, I've never had that as a job, but it sounds like I could have done.
I feel like we would have been mint at it 10 years ago.
We would have been those guys.
Yeah.
Melvin mutates into a lumpy, muscle-bound monster with the voice of a velvet porn narrator. And voila, our hero, inverted commas, is born.
There he is. Act 2, Toxie cleans house. Now armed with grotesque biceps and a killer sense of hygiene, the Toxic Avenger mops up crime in Tromaville. He rips arms off of drug dealers, turns bad guys into literal roadkill, and even finds true love with a blind woman who somehow doesn't mind his bowl of porridge with eyeballs face.
That's quite accurate.
Thank you. Meanwhile... the corrupt mayor of Tromaville, his elected officials, and their henchmen realize their criminal gravy train is in danger of being wiped up by a radioactive janitor.
Act 3, mutant versus machine.
Yeah.
The mayor, sweating mayonnaise and evil in equal measure, declares war on Toxie, sending the entire National Guard after him. Oh my God, that's what Trump's doing right now.
It's mad that, isn't it?
But the citizens of Tromaville, who'd rather have a gooey superhero than crooked cops, rally behind their mutated mopslinger. After some comically gory justice, Toxie triumphs, the mayor gets his comeuppance, and Tromaville is left safe, sticky, and strangely proud of its radioactive mascot.
This is a little bit off point.
Right.
But how good is the word comeuppance to look at? Like, that just looks like a good word.
It is a nice word.
Do you know what I mean?
It's shapely.
It is a shapely word.
It's the two P's are in the middle.
Yeah.
And it looks like a little seesaw.
Yeah.
A perfectly balanced seesaw. Thanos would love that word.
He'd snap it right into existence. Do you know what I mean? That'd be like, boom.
Now, I'm going to start briefly with your initial reactions. And the reason I want to start with yours is because... for as long as I have known you, you've been going on about this little picture house called Troma, who make films, and all of them are insane, and all of them are wildly inappropriate for today's audiences.
And I think they're wildly inappropriate for them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I was like, okay, yeah, cool. But then you also, as a man who, you recommend some odd stuff.
Okay.
And there's a lot of recommendations.
There are.
So at a certain point, it's easier to just kind of go, we'll do, babe.
Everyone's there.
Right. So with Troma specifically, it was one of those things I never really dipped my toe in the water of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a changed man because we went to go see the newest one. The remake.
At a secret screening. Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Right.
I fell head over heels in love.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, let's fucking go. Let's do this.
Mint.
And so we're on the original Toxic Avenger. Now, I'm really happy that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't ask you for initial reactions because you watched this first when you were...
I don't know, like early teens.
Okay.
Freshly discovered part. And the Poly Six, who are a Japanese band. If you haven't heard them, go listen to them.
No one has, but yeah.
They're amazing. And then I stumbled into Tromaville. I can't even remember how. Someone recommended it me, and it was like a dodgy DVD copy that, like, you know, you used to buy down the pub.
Jeff.
Who just had that, the one guy that had spent 200 quid on a DVD burner.
Korean guy called Jeff.
Yeah.
And everybody, all right, Jeff, go easy. And be like, oh, hi.
I've got no film. Not doing that accent.
Ben, we can't edit this.
Yeah.
That would have been edited.
I feel like it should be.
No, we can't.
I'll own it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Everything we say is written in stone today.
But also, I feel like Jeff wouldn't want me culturally appropriating him to my accent because I feel like that's offensive.
I feel like we... You watched it young.
That was the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was young.
And some say, still am.
Yeah. At heart. Yeah, I watched it young and it changed my life because I was like, I didn't realize that this is what films could be.
Right.
I didn't realize that this was allowed.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it was like on a proper DVD release. There was VHS everywhere. There's a whole... I used to share the family computer at my sister's house. So I didn't have the internet until I was like 17. So I used to go up to my sister's house, get like 35 minutes on the family computer. And you'd have all of these fucking like forums and people discussing Toxic Avenger and all this weird shit out there about the Toxic Avenger. And I'm like, why? But why?
Yeah.
And obviously doing this, you discover this entire universe of people that are like, I don't care about the rules. I just want to be funny. I want to be weird. I want to make stupid shit. I want to make stupid shit that says something. And voila.
I think the thing that I was surprised at the most when I watched the new one in the cinema, and I was really pleased to see that it had achieved, because the original, which we're talking about now, is literally dripping in. Is willful stupidity.
Yes.
And there's a big difference between the film being stupid.
Yeah.
The Gorge, I know you love it, but it's just mint. For a moment.
It is stupid.
It's stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not willfully stupid. It thinks it's quite clever.
Okay. I don't get that. We've
Passengers
got
with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
That thinks it's clever.
Stupid film.
Stupid film. That thinks it's clever.
Right.
I think The Gorge is a different kettle of fish. Only marginally, but I think it's a slightly different one. I think it's aware that it's stupid, but it's in its own self-contained little
possibly,
bubble.
Possibly.
Doesn't matter, though.
Regardless.
That's perception.
Passengers.
Yeah.
Stupid film.
Stupid film.
And I watch it and I go, why am I watching this stupid film? The Toxic Avenger as a franchise to me seems to sort of be the cinematic equivalent of the Jackass gang. It's willfully stupid and it's kind of having fun with it and it's going, yeah, we know. But it's fun though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I'm on board because now you're not trying to sell me something that you're not doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going, this is the lowest common denominator. But so what? Because we're smashing it.
Yeah. But also I feel like the messages that are in the original Toxic Avenger, like the environmentalism aspect. All this stuff is all there.
And it's there and it's nice that it's there, but it's not what you turn up for.
It's not the focal point.
It's not the focal point.
Not at all.
No.
The focal point is a weird bubbly mess of a man going on a rampage of
bullies.
And there's
just simple things. Like you said in the breakdown, you know, he's a mutated horrific monster.
Yeah.
He's never seen on screen when talking, or very rarely seen on screen when talking.
Ooh.
But the voice is just a buttery smooth...
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Buttery smooth narration, and you just go, there's no need for that, but it's brilliant.
The fact that they made that a conscious choice is fucking outstanding.
And that's this franchise for me.
That's what
What's
it is.
What's the stupidest choice we could make?
Yeah.
That one, great, let's embrace it.
Wait until we get to part two. He windsurfs to Japan.
But now it has, I will say,
mm-hmm.
I watched the remake, fell in love. I watched this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an offendable person. The more offensive something is,
right,
the funnier I find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because I agree with the target of the offense.
No.
But I find a delight in the sort of perversity of just how fucking insane it is that someone said that.
Yeah, 100%. Right? I'm with
you. So you can say something awful,
and
I will nervously laugh and just go, wow, that is wild.
But it's like seeing that one guy yell at traffic. Like, you don't want to be involved in it, but you're rooting for him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, fuck that traffic. I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah.
What were you yelling at?
So the original, obviously 1984 was a different time.
It was.
And a lot of the barriers that it was ballet dancing on the edge of, that were the borders of acceptable, are now way over there in the unacceptable.
Yeah. Okay. So I think all of this was unacceptable in 1984.
It was, but it was an arm's reach. You could stand
on
the side.
It was over the fence.
It was over the fence. You could stand on the right side of the fence and reach over and touch it.
Yeah.
Now it's more of a binoculars situation.
Yes. It's a distant pass type thing. You've moved out of the area. The rest of the place has been bulldozed down, but that one stubborn neighbor.
Yeah.
who was always a bit mouthy.
And someone drops a hard R and you're like, whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
I'd forgotten that there was that word for those kinds of people.
There's a moment in this film where they drop like six slurs back to back. Yeah. Like it's such a casual thing. And I'm like, wow, 84 was wild.
Yeah.
84 was wild for these white people to be driving around yelling this at each other. Wow. I've got something from Lloyd Kaufman on this. Lloyd Kaufman, obviously Mr. Troma himself.
Right.
Producer and director of Toxic Avenger.
And Troma was a picture house, right? I mean, they're like a
production
studio.
Company, yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's its own studio. It's essentially a fuck you to Hollywood. It was these movies that were never going to get big budgets or never get big funding. Lloyd Kaufman essentially went, fuck young and do it myself. Right. And then did it. And and people like James Gunn got his start in Troma.
There's so much... Oh my God, now you've said James Gunn. Yeah. So much of James Gunn's aesthetic is these films.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How did I not clock that before?
So this is where he got his start, man. Look at Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They got their start in Troma.
Did they?
Cannibal the Musical. That was their first thing.
No way.
And Troma was the one that was just sort of like, sure, we'll fund it.
Basketball.
No. This is way before basketball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is like early 90s.
Right. Okay.
That's where they got their
start.
Anyway,
sorry, tangent.
Troma. Lloyd Kaufman. This is what he's saying on some of the most offensive moments in Toxic Avenger 1984. Recent interview. In its day, the full head crushing scene in the Toxic Avenger, and then the young attractive women photographing the squashed head, and then masturbating in the steam room. Yeah, that was out there.
Right.
Fully self-aware, knows exactly what it was, still did it.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
But he's also not lying about it. And this is what I can respect in a man, is accepting it, and he's going, yeah. Yeah, it was mad.
Yeah.
It was a 12-year-old's head that got ran over by a car and then...
I hasten to add, dear listener, for the many of you that haven't seen this film, that is played for the ridiculousness of the... almost as a sort of send-up satire of villainy in films.
Yeah, it's a
way over-the-top cartoonish characterization that's meant to be...
Evil incarnate,
out there and bizarre, but taken to the degree. But it was the way you just read it, you were just like, oh yeah, that bit. I'm like... Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, and that was...
And when you say it in a sentence, it's wildly different to how it appears in the film.
Bro, that's not even the worst thing in the film. That's not even top 10. It's not even... It doesn't even crack top 10 on what is in that movie.
No.
There's so much joy for us here. So I'm going to get into a little bit onto how the Toxic Avenger has aged, because we're talking about it now and we're getting into the whole, the questionable language and stuff like this. So I can see why people... see it as aging poorly, right? In the fucking 1984 Toxic Avenger, it's aged poorly in several key respects, right? So the gleeful use of sexual violence, the racist caricatures, and the mean-spirited cruelty that's often played for like laughs, they feel, especially watching it back in 2025, they feel more exploitative than subversive, right?
Yeah.
So what would once be a fucking incredible midnight movie appeal and be like, oh my God, look how crazy this is. Watching back now, when we have other options for midnight movie appeals, is a bit like, oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. What were they really trying to say here? What's the real thing here? And I get it, right? I do get it. It makes it hard for modern audiences, especially if you're a newcomer to the franchise. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard to appreciate it. But then despite its rough edges, you've also got the Toxic Avenger as this little scrappy outsider take on the superhero genre in a industry that's dominated with DC and Marvel and a new Disney series that's out every 4 days. There's like, it's just flooded, completely flooded. You've got Deadpool. Deadpool pushes the boundaries on it. That's cool.
I'd say that this is very Deadpool adjacent. And
I'd say this is Deadpool before Deadpool.
I was kind of going to go.
Yeah.
I'm like... If I was gonna watch the Toxic Avenger and then go, let me make something that's in the Marvel universe, they've not gone very far at all, have they?
I'm so fucking glad you bring this up, bud. I'm so glad you bring this up. I'm gonna get to it shortly.
Okay.
I'm gonna get to it at the end because it's a ramble.
Okay.
And I'm gonna pull at some strings and we're gonna have to make some fucking leaps of faith. All right. Mm-hmm. You're all just gonna have to jump in the boat with me. But I'm glad you bring that up.
Okay, good.
But it's this unapologetic mix of splatter and satire, and it's got this weird, unique personality that just does not exist anymore. It's not through choice that it doesn't exist anymore. I just think it's through lack of opportunity.
Right.
If you dive into Troma's back catalogue,
yes,
there are heaps of films that are all similar to this. Surf Nazis Must Die.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Class of Nukem High. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Return to Nukem High. 1, 2, and 3. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD.
Right.
Stan Lee's favourite trauma movie, just as a little tidbit there.
Okay.
There's another little link
again,
to Marvel.
I've not seen any of these, but the titles themselves are just fizzing my brain with possibility now. I've seen the
Buddy,
Toxic Avenger.
Luckily for you, I've got them all on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Frankenhooker.
Okay, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be a
right?
good one to start, yeah.
See, stuff like this. Samuel L. Jackson's Death by Temptation, the erotic black vampire movie.
I mean, that sounds mint.
Right?
Okay, that's
just
that's
saying.
Mint. Right.
Just saying. We've got all this stuff. It becomes a cult icon over the years because it still remains weirdly relevant with its commentary on corporate greed, its commentary on environmentalism. We've learned fuck all. We've gone no further than we had. There's tons of shit just littered around the planet, and everyone, every single day is making the place, making the world a worse place.
I do have to disagree with you there.
That's fine.
I think as a society, we have moved on, and we now agree that if you're going to dump toxic waste,
yeah,
you run a big advertising campaign talking about how you're not dumping toxic waste, and you say, what we have done is we've built a few windmills.
Sure.
And we're working on the problem.
Do you remember
that?
Just
keep doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
But outwardly, you have to project. Previously, I think in the era that trauma existed,
right,
you could just be an honest business and go, we're putting the waste on the playground,
yeah,
and deal with it. Whereas now, it's a little bit like, we're putting the waste in Greenland.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. but also, I don't live there, so
right.
Fuck it.
Right.
You know what
We're
I mean?
Putting the waste somewhere far away from your playground.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
Those children are a different colour, and so you probably don't mind as much because you don't see them on your television.
There's that.
We've moved on as a society, man.
I don't think you've ever been to Greenland.
I've got problems with Greenland.
Okay.
I've got major problems with Greenland.
I don't. Well, we can't edit this episode, so I don't think we get into that right now.
I'm just saying, what have they done?
Santa. Isn't Santa from Greenland? Where's Santa from?
North Pole.
I thought, there's a place, what's the land?
Lapland.
Lapland?
Yeah.
Isn't that Greenland?
I couldn't care less, because Santa doesn't live there. Name anything Greenland has contributed.
Santa. That's a pretty fucking big one.
Name anything real. Anyway. Sorry. I'm going on my Greenland.
I'm sorry. Are we just destroying dreams now? Is this what's happening?
Does Santa live in Greenland?
Google it. What's Google saying?
Not a universal belief.
Not a universal belief?
No.
Fuck it.
Some
I'll hold
Danish
it.
Danish people believe, but it's either
yes.
Finland or the North Pole.
Let's
oh,
go.
You're siding with the Danish, are
Let's
you?
Go, Danish.
You and pastry.
Nothing but great pastries and great Santa takes. Fucking love a Dane.
No, I agree. Nothing has really changed in terms of the actions.
Right.
I'm just saying that words
this
have
is
now
great.
Become... You now have to pretend you're not doing it.
I mean, you say that, but do you remember on the news, like I don't remember how many years ago, but when BP had an oil spill in the Gulf and they tried dropping golf balls to plug the hole?
Yeah.
That was a real thing.
Yeah.
That was a real thing that was on news, and everyone still goes to BP petrol stations. They don't give a fuck. No one cares. I went to a BP petrol station on the way here tonight.
Weirdly, I watched the film about that, expecting it to be pure shite. Deepwater Horizon, starring Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch.
Fucking great film.
Great film.
Great film.
How is that a great... That shouldn't
Don't
be
know.
A great film.
Don't know. It just happens.
Right.
Fucking great film. But look, I'm going to move us on. I'm going to move us on to a toxic timeline, right? Again, we can't edit this, so I'm railroading us to where we need to be, all right? The toxic timeline of how this became weird... out there release to cult classic phenomenon, right? So
right.
The initial reception to this movie, as you can imagine, was fine.
Yeah, I can't
for
see
some.
This lighting up the box office.
I mean, some critics were all right with it. Like Leonard Maltin gave it a 2.5 out of 4 stars. He said it's a funny spoof, not without violence and gore, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah.
2.5 stars out of 4, that's not too bad. Stephen Holden from the New York Times said, maniacally farcical... maniacally farcical sense of humor.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And then he immediately called the film trash.
Oh, no. Okay, he may have meant that with malice.
I don't
disagree with him. It
no.
is trash.
Yeah, of course.
But we're in trash panda mode, right? We're going through the bin.
We're in
like,
the fucking
look
dumpster.
At this.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
Mm.
It's joyous trash.
100%. And then TV Guide was a little bit more negative. Silly, sleazy, graphically violent, but said that it's had a bit of a warped charm.
I'd agree.
Same.
I'd say it has a lot of warped charm.
I'd give that a 5-star.
Right, yeah.
Great review.
These are the things. The things they're saying, I'm like, well, that's a 5 out of 10. That's a 5 out of 5 movie.
Yeah, 100%.
With the words you've given.
So. Yeah. Audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, 70%. Fucking there you go.
Yeah.
Speaks volumes. So this whole like cult formation and the audience engagement thing. So this is between the late 1980s mm-hmm. and the 1990s, right? So there was the midnight movie Ascendance, essentially. There used to be a movie theater in New York called Bleecker Street Theater.
Okay.
And they did these like midnight runs of Ooh. Just ridiculous movies that were
stuff
like...
stuff that you can't believe was real.
Yeah, like cult phenomenons. Like you can only see it at midnight at this time because it's so nice. Fucking out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It ran there...
Forever.
Forever. It yeah, was yeah. on fucking loads of time. So like... there's loads of really heartwarming stories on like Reddit and different forums where it's like, I used to go to Bleecker Street. Me and my Aww. Buddies used to try and sneak into Bleecker Street to watch the Toxic Avenger as a midnight screening just to have a good time.
Yeah.
Which is an insanely fucking cool thing to do.
It's the perfect way to watch this.
What a night out to have. Yeah. Imagine that being one of your formative memories, like a core memory of you and your buddies
yeah.
sitting in a weird theater at midnight watching a weird ass movie. And that's kind of why I love the Prince Charles cinema down yes. in London, because they do yeah, very yeah. similar things. They do they, like full
they kind
marathons.
They exist on that. I think yeah. my big, it's not a criticism. Whenever I think of the Prince Charles, I always love the fact that they're doing that. But I'm always aware that there's probably only room in the market for one cinema to do that in London.
Yeah.
If a second one opened, both would close. Because it would divide the audience, right? And London's the biggest city in the UK. I feel yeah. like the Prince Charles is fantastic, mm-hmm. and I love everything it's doing, yeah. but only the Prince Charles can do it. But the Prince Charles Cinema is the Radiohead of movie theatres. If anyone right. else tried to do what the Prince Charles was doing, they'd fall flat
shit.
On their face,
yeah.
not make a penny,
yeah.
and the Prince Charles would probably also go bankrupt because it really needs those 30 people that would go to the other cinema that night.
Bro, Prince Charles sells out all the fucking time, and it is yeah. the most annoying thing on the planet because they'll announce something and be like, yeah, so in
Big
6 days,
on, yeah.
we're doing Big Shark and The Room, and also Tommy Wiseau is going to be here, yeah. and it's like, yeah, sick. Tickets on sale now. You click the link and it's been sold out for 15 minutes and it's like the post was made 17 minutes ago. Yeah. London, I get it.
Yeah.
You have this shit. Give me a chance. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Put 25 tickets to the side for people that don't live in fucking London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
so I can get, I'll pay over the odds. Mm. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just get me in on it. So we had this Bleecker Street Cinema. Troma's like screened fucking tons of movies there.
Yeah.
Like the humor is on key. It's on point for that's what it is. You had the VHS and the home video boom,
mm-hmm.
late 80s, early 90s. So obviously now Blockbusters, mom and pop rental shops, all this stuff, they had VHS of the Toxic yeah. Avenger. So like college kids, all these guys.
Well,
this
people
like,
who just made movie nights part of their week. And
exactly.
there's only so many Blockbusters coming out.
Yeah.
I remember regularly we'd walk down the hill to the local corner shop
yeah, yeah.
because, I don't know, a film would be out. We're like, well, let's go see if they've got Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Yeah.
Because we saw it at the cinema 6 months ago. And they'd be like, sorry, all the copies are out. And then you're like, shit,
yeah.
what do we get now?
Literally
and then you've
anything.
Just got everything else.
Yeah.
Toxic Avenger, great one to have.
Put it next to the till.
Right?
Put it next to the till.
Yeah.
Oh, what, you want to watch? Sorry, yeah. Pretty Woman's all gone. But we do have...
Pretty Man.
Pretty Man in a tutu.
Yeah.
Here we go. It's a love story.
It is a love story. You can't yeah. debate that.
And it truly drives home the message that love can be blind.
Mm. It's one of the most romantic films in which a dog gets brutally shot in a drive-thru.
It's not a drive-thru.
Oh, beg pardon.
It's a Mexican restaurant with samurai swords on the wall for no reason.
That's very true.
Thank
that
you.
Is very true.
Yeah.
Where the nachos turn into tacos.
Yeah.
Between shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair.
It happens.
It does.
Go to Mexico, idiot. Get some culture. Fucking hell. Jesus, over here shitting on Spanish food. Unbelievable. We can't edit this, Rob.
We can't. That's
we can't.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Your horrendous xenophobia is out on the internet forever.
Oh, yeah, we're on par now. That's one for one.
And then in the 1990s to 2000s, we had the cross-media revolution. Now, this is where it gets insane.
Right.
Toxic Avenger had a kids TV series, Saturday morning cartoon spin-off series called The Toxic Crusader.
Huh?
And I cannot tell you how fucking entertaining this is. I watched the entire series last weekend,
right?
Eating a bowl of cereal, episode one to whatever the
As
fuck it is.
If you can eat cereal. If I have a bowl of cereal, I put on 3 stone.
Oh, bro, I ate like 6 bowls of cereal. I was literally sitting there fist pumping, having the best time of my life.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
A Zempic?
No, Zin. Just loads of Zin.
But how did this get a daytime TV show? Like a kids cartoon?
Some people ask,
you know,
Lord Kaufman the same question.
In this movie?
At least three.
At least three.
I can't remember the rest.
And a couple of other obscure ones. I'm like, oh, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, that's one for someone. Not going to Google that one. Lloyd Kaufman weighed in on this. And he was asked how Toxic Avenger became a kids' cartoon. And he says, I have no idea how The Toxic Avenger, a movie that features a child's head getting crushed by an automobile, was adapted into a TV series for kids.
Mm.
I will never be able to wrap my mind around this either. However, Toxie is actually a great role model if you think about it.
Yeah, they can't deny that. The world he exists in is savage.
Terrible. So
he himself, beautiful.
He goes on to say he takes care of his mother, is loyal to his blind girlfriend, and he protects and defends the weak. In fact, if you remove all the gratuitous sex and violence from The Toxic Avenger, what's left is a great kids movie. And fuck me, Lloyd, if that ain't true,
right.
Well done, buddy.
Right. I tell you why I do think it makes a great candidate for a kids movie is the same reason that they invented He-Man and Transformers is that he's a great action figure. He's a fantastic action figure.
Funny you say this.
And I can see somebody being like, I've got a plastic injection molding company.
Yeah.
What can I make some money on?
It's mad because it's almost like this Saturday morning cartoon TV series was as popular as a toy line as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was in the early 90s.
No.
So much so that I have one of the original Toxic Crusaders, Toxie figurines.
That's incredible.
Still mint condition. In the packaging.
Oh my God.
It survived the flood.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because you've been sort of like the seven plagues of Egypt.
Yeah.
You had the flood.
Yeah.
You had another thing. You had an X. There's like various different forms of destruction of your memorabilia collection have occurred.
Yes.
You've
yet
to have a fire, touch wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's other ones.
Yeah. There's a few.
You haven't got concrete cancer yet.
No, not yet. But it could be brewing.
It could be brewing.
You know what I mean? I need to check for lumps. That's on me. And then in 2008, The Toxic Avenger got an off-Broadway musical adaptation.
Ooh.
Which was
award-winning.
In 2009, when it became... It won one of the top awards for being an off-Broadway show ever, and it went on tour for fucking ever.
Off-Broadway for me is... very much like a deep cut horror or B movie.
Yeah.
I can see it being one of your new obsessions.
Yeah.
Because the few things that I love in the world, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, my favorite film of all time, bar none, not even close.
Yeah.
Started as an off-Broadway.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like the vast majority of off-Broadway, bag of shit.
Yes.
Couple of diamonds, and those if there's anyone who's willing to wade through a bag of shit to find a few little diamonds, you are my guy.
That's essentially my personality. Like, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Looking for a new job? Yeah, sick. Here's 14 fucking horrendous ones, and then you end up in a mint one.
There you go.
I'm willing to do that. Oh, you like B movies? Here's 150 DVDs from a charity shop, each with 4 movies on.
Yes.
None of them are reviewed well. None of them have a distributor. There are 2 fantastic ones.
Yeah.
And I know that because I have about 150 DVDs that I bought from a charity shop without a distributor on purpose. And 2 of them are mint.
Perfect.
For all the wrong reasons. So yeah, I'm in. Off Broadway. Let's do it, man. But speaking of why I am the way I am, some would say broken, some would say confused. I would not disagree. I'm going to give you a brief history of B-movies and why I love B-movies.
This is the thing. We touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
You are that guy. You love finding the diamond.
Fucking love it.
But B-movie, I think, is your first love.
Yeah, hands down.
Like, long as I've known you.
Yeah.
You were like, have you heard of this Japanese band? I'm like, of course I haven't. I don't speak Japanese.
Yeah.
Have you seen this Game Boy game that was never released that I've got a cartridge of?
I'm like,
how would I have done?
Fair.
and then B movies.
Yeah. B movies are the, it's this weird thing, right? B movies came about because of a financial necessity way back in the 1930s, right? So right. The Great Depression was going on in America. Movies were struggling. So when they were done with the big budget production and they were like, well, fuck, we've got all these sets, we've got all these costumes, we've got everything laid out, we've got big ticket stars that are just on standby. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just knock out a 70-minute mystery whodunit thriller with the same shit that we've done for the last three movies,
yeah,
but we bring it all in real, real close and we spend $100,000 on it. And then to sell it, what we'll do is we'll double feature it at a theater with an A movie. So that way, when you buy your ticket to the theater, you're getting two movies for the price of one, but it's only costing us the price of one. And if we make a loss on the B movie, no one gives a shit. It's $100,000. I'm surprised they haven't made a coin for this yet. Do you know what I mean?
Not a bad shout.
This is what I'm saying.
That makes good business sense.
Exactly. So these movies that were being made, right? They were like, they're these little films. They focused more on experimental creativity, stuff you couldn't get away with in the big A-list movies. It would be too big of a gamble. You had to go on the true tried and trusted. Can't edit that. The true tried and tested.
There you go.
First try. Fuck you.
There we go.
I forgot what I was saying. Storylines.
Storylines.
Yeah. Those.
The avant-garde, slightly more experimental. You're on this. Let's give this a go.
Exactly.
We can't do a full feature on this because we're not going to get the big stars in because we're going to pay them on their contract. Exactly. They're contracted for 10 films a year. We don't want to burn one of these on your weird moon.
There you go.
There we go.
But this type of cinema attracted a certain type of person. It was a certain type of person that
with a mullet and tattoos.
Oh, fucking dude, don't. I'm fizzing.
If you start bringing 1930s B movies,
I've got shitloads. Oh, I went on a binge the other day and I bought loads. Tarzan from 1933, fucking mint.
I've heard that one's actually genuinely.
It's
like
actually mint. Okay. I've got a ton. I'm working through them. I'll bring something.
Now I think about it. Tarzan, 1933.
Yeah,
is that going to be all right?
Probably not.
Seems like it's not going to be.
Yeah.
Give it a watch first.
I'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's a.
If you never hear of this film again, dear listener, you know.
I haven't got it on DVD. If you never hear from it again, definitely didn't buy it. Definitely didn't. That's fine. Unrelated, it might be in a bin beyond KFC because I can't put that in my house bin. If I put that in my house bin and bin man sees it and goes, oh, he's either going to agree with it and go, that's a bin film.
I love the idea that the bin man... You think your binman hand empties each bag?
I think the binmen are so interested in what I'm doing in my personal life.
That's what it is.
Because I'm so important.
It's the inherent narcissism of conspiracy thinking.
It's also pure main character syndrome.
Yeah.
I hate it when people talk about this shit. Oh, but people are watching me. Why? Bitch, why? You ain't that important. You could walk into a dump on fire and people would be sort of like, park
it
over there.
You say that, but then you also said you can save the MCU, so...
I'm on it, mate.
All right, okay.
I'm on it. I'm getting to it. That's going to be the last one, though, all right?
All right, nice.
So, these little B-movies came out. The sort of person that it attracted is this over-creative person that wasn't fond of restraints being put in by the studio, right?
Yeah,
so you got creativity by the bucketful, you just don't have the budget to do it. But then the ingenuity of having a bunch of scrappy underdogs all get together and go, how do we make this appear like this? And you have this weird, gorgeous moment of these batshit crazy people running around like little kids on a playground,
finding
stuff to do.
Doing science.
How do we make a tent? I don't know. Let's grab 12 sticks and a fucking blanket from Nan's house. There you go. That's what I'm thinking. This is what I fucking love.
I love the idea that you think tents were invented in the 30s. They were like, we don't know. We're just going to have to do science.
No one was camping before the 30s. Come on. Jesus Christ.
No.
And not... Okay, there's a joke. It's fine. I'm going to leave it.
We can't edit, so...
Yeah, I know. As soon as I went to say it, I was like, that's uneditable. It's fine. It's fine.
No, it's fine. 1930s B movies, Ben. You're being cultural.
But the B movies outlived the Great Depression, and it became this whole thing where studios were now having the sort of foresight to build their own B movie units. So they had their A-list stuff and they were like, this is great. They'll do their own thing. They'll crack on. They'll do whatever.
Yeah.
And the B-movie units, we can get in new, fresh talent and do like little test drives, see how they would fare in yeah. like the bigger movies and stuff. And it was like a progression thing, which was great. In the 50s and 60s, obviously TVs became way more popular.
Yeah.
Everyone was staying in and watching TV. So studios were put in hundreds of thousands, you know, up into the millions in like these big, beautiful, over-the-top, colorful productions. Loads of Roman stuff, loads of sword yeah. and sandal, loads of like Noah, you know, part in the, totally. The sea and shit.
Let's create a new world that exists within exactly. the four frames of your television.
Bring people back to the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then also, what do we do with the sets when they're done? Well, let's get Roger Corman in. Let's get those yeah. monster guys in. Let's get this thing. And then you've we got the birth of...
We can rent the equipment to them.
Exactly.
They can use the same setups, the same lights, not move anything, yeah. just a different plot.
Dude, these six guys have shown up with a pet ant and some fucking cardboard and silver paint. They say that they can make a different world in the desert.
Yeah.
And then they go on and make them. Excuse me, please.
Yeah, come on, worthwhile.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it birthed this whole thing. The 50s and 60s was insane because of everything that was going on. The moon landing, we were sort of pushing forward with space travel, X, Y, and Z. Technology was going through the roof. So these science fiction, B-movie nonsense films were just coming out of nowhere and everywhere. Ray Harryhausen started Genius. Coming through with the monster work and all this.
For those that don't know, Ray Harryhausen was the sort of godfather of stop-motion animation who did all of the creature effects for things like King Kong, but also Jason and the Argonauts. And if it moved and wasn't real on screen,
yeah,
thank Ray Harryhausen.
It came from 20,000 or beyond 20,000 fathoms.
20,000 meters beneath the sea.
No, 20,000 fathoms. It's about a dinosaur from Venus.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing, yeah. amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah.
God, it I lands in Rome.
Movies. I miss those movies.
Right.
You're right, though. We talked about it during the Chaplin series. That sense of if you were born in, say, 1910, the primary form of transport was some people had a motor car, but most people were getting around on horses.
Yeah.
And your fuel source was wood.
Yes.
And you're now in your 50s or 60s, and there's guys on the moon, and people are flying everywhere. You're like, where are we going to be in 40 years?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be flying cars. Everyone's yeah. going to be teleporting everywhere. yeah. The Jetsons is a documentary.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah.
It makes perfect rational sense.
Exactly.
And now you're just here with AI and writing now here racism. We go.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
just outsourced racism to computers.
Yeah. Everyone's getting upset that you can't say the R word anymore. All right. But, so the whole TV boom in the 50s and 60s, and then you sort of had studios weren't allowed to own their own movie theaters anymore, which meant that they had to separate sort of right. church and state.
Oh, so that's why there's, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was like, why is that like MGM theater in Hollywood?
Yeah, and yeah.
Because it would have been the Metro Gold. Okay, yeah, that's
so, but they couldn't own them anymore.
I feel silly now.
I feel silly.
That makes sense.
It's all good. It's all good. But they weren't allowed to do it anymore. It was deemed illegal.
Monopolistic, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come see our movie. It's a quid.
Yeah. Exactly. How can you charge so little? Fucking made it, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking made it. I could pay you to watch it and still make a profit.
Yeah.
So that weren't happening. They sort of dispatched, and then it became this whole thing of theatres were taking on their own personalities. Companies were picking up different sites, and then different sites became famous for different things. You had a huge home movie boom, again, sort of disrupting the cinema side of things. But you also had this fucking insane, insane thing where B-movies kind of took a step back from mainstream theatre releases and started ending up on the midnight bills and the double features and
it
the special screenings.
A little bit like they started realizing that they had a separate audience and started catering to that rather than 100%. Chasing the A audience.
Exactly.
They
what
were
it
like,
is.
Nobody seeing this,
dude,
is in here to
exactly.
see an A film.
Yeah.
Let's lean into the tastes and the desires.
Exactly.
We've not got a cinema release, so why are we bothering to censor for a theater owner?
That's
Let's
it.
Just go, we're going to be straight to DVD. We're going to be straight to VHS.
Exactly.
Let's just be
fuck
straight
loads
to
of money
VHS.
There. There you go. Yeah. Loads of money there. Don't just watch it once. Fucking buy it and own it. Watch as many times as you want. But B-movies beat, they outlived old Hollywood. They outlived the golden age of Hollywood. They outlived every other element.
Sandals, all these things.
Outlived all of it. And they were so prevalent in the 80s. That people started opting for the director VHS thing, which is why we've got an absolute slew of mint 80s director VHS videos.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then after all of this, and a trauma who were like, no one's going to fund these movies.
Yeah.
No one's taking me seriously. No one reads the script and goes, yep. Not one person. So fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. And there we go. Troma was born.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Beautiful. You said it was Lord Kaufman?
Lord Kaufman.
Who is this man?
He's insane.
Right.
He's one of the funniest people I've ever seen in interviews. Because right. Watching an interviewer try and wrangle this man into answering one question is fucking hilarious.
Has he got Tarantino syndrome?
No. It's it's worse.
Right. Because I've always noticed with Tarantino, someone asks him a question.
Yeah.
And he then jumps 30 meters to the left, talks about what he was going to talk about anyway.
Kinda?
At speed. Mm-hmm. And then ends the sentence sounding like he's answered the question.
Yep.
But he sort of plucks from a book roughly about what you've asked.
Yeah.
But then when you read it transcribed, you're like, that's not a sentence.
No. Okay, so Lloyd isn't this. I tried watching an interview with him last night just to get like a little bit more context for some stuff. And it was about Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD and the Toxic Avenger.
Right.
He didn't mention either of them. It was a 30-minute long interview. And what he did is he showed up 10 minutes late.
Right, perfect.
Showed up 10 minutes late, sat down, and immediately went, the last time I saw you, we did a skit where I had diarrhea on a Super Nintendo game.
Wow.
And the guy was like laughing, being like, yeah, it's a Cinemassacre guy. You know, angry video game YouTube, nerd.
So they would have done some sort of skit about, yeah.
It was amazing. So the Toxic Avenger SNES game was terrible. And there was a skit where Lloyd Kaufman was diarrhea-ing all over the SNES game. And he just went, last time I saw you, I was shitting on a SNES game. And since then, I've been clean as a whistle. But this morning, I woke up and I had terrible diarrhea. And then just went into this whole fucking, like, this whole thing.
Wow.
I can't tell you how he ended up where he ended up, but he did. And he was talking about, just call me Uncle Lloyd. I like doing the interview with you because when I do the interview with this other person, and then it shows footage of this other person, he's like, I had to sleep with him. And he was terrible. It was, I don't think I'm allowed to say this. Can we just edit this out? I didn't sleep with him. I did sleep with him. And it's this for fucking 15 minutes. And it's cry laugh worthy.
So it's you. In interview.
No, it's insane. It's insane.
I'm
very together. I've got a couple more thoughts from him, just on random shit, because I was digging through and I was trying to find something cohesive. I couldn't do it. Right. He's too funny. He's too all over the shop. I fucking love him. So here's reflecting on the original Toxic Avengers Enduring Appeal. This is what he's saying. Well, it would be a tie between the first and the fourth movie, as into which was the most popular and long lasting. Well, it'd be a tie between the first and the fourth. The first one obviously had some kind of magic and it had a life of its own. There's still kids today going to conventions and just discovering the Toxic Avenger for the first time, and it was made before they were even born. Yeah. Which is a fucking crazy thing to say about something that you did in 1984 for a laugh.
Yeah.
That's insane. And then this is on an influence and what sets Toxic Avenger apart. I always felt bad that Frankenstein was the one that dies. So I thought, let's do one where Frankenstein lives and let's make him a hero. I got newsletters about toxic waste dumps ticking away like time bombs. Toxic Avenger was long before that, which is insane to think about. He releases a movie that is so over the top ridiculous about ticking time bomb, toxic waste dumps, and then however many decades later, gets newsletters about toxic waste dumps being like ticking time bombs. And he's like, Mitch, did we not talk about this in 1984?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's Lloyd Kaufman. A few of the thoughts.
Special man.
I think what I'm going to do is a Troma series where I bring a few of the films.
Could you?
And we can dive into him.
Great.
Because he does loads
maybe
of stuff.
I've got a few B movies I can bring.
Let's do it.
I've got one that I need to rewatch before I bring it.
Okay.
But it's called The Return of Captain Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, sick. Bring it. Just bring it.
It's Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Who most people know from the Oceans movies.
Yeah.
But young.
Yeah.
Playing an alcoholic superhero.
Yeah.
Who's fighting Christopher Lee, who's an alcohol salesman.
Stop selling. Just bring it. Just bring it.
It's a musical.
Yeah, sick. Bring it. What are we doing?
I just need to rewatch, because what I don't want to do is say we're going to do that.
Right.
And then it turns out to be Tarzan 1933. Do you know what I mean?
Who cares? That would be hilarious. Bring that, I'll bring Tarzan 1933. There you go.
We are desperately short on time.
We are.
Now, I'm aware you say you want to save the MCU, so I'm going to give you a bonus option.
Mm-hmm.
We could do a little comment corner.
Okay.
We could end it here, and then we could deliver the master plan for the MCU.
Okay.
To the Patreon listeners who pay as little as £1 a month for hours of extra content.
Whoa. Okay. Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I need to get it out. It's been bubbling in me for a while.
I'm desperate to hear
it. We'll get it out after.
So if you're also desperate to hear it, dear listener, go to Patreon, go to our link tree. It's a quid.
It's literally a quid.
It's literally a quid.
I'm going to save the MCU.
Right. We do like an extra 20 minutes, sometimes extra half an hour. We do exclusive content on there. Go listen. We'd love to see you there.
You get direct access to my pocket. That's weird. That's
odd.
Weird to say out loud.
Yeah.
But I mean it.
You can buzz Ben's jewels.
And yours.
And mine.
See?
But that's less in demand.
I know. You're getting too into it. You're getting too into it. I can't be having that. Oh, what? Little sad boy feels happy now. Get back down in your hole. I'm going to save the MCU after we've wrapped up this.
Brilliant.
And then that'll go on to Patreon. And I'm telling you, it's fucking juicy.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to just pick random ones for Comment Corner.
Do one. Don't do one. Do what you said you were going to do. Do one.
Because YouTube is just an endless goldmine. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pick random comments that come up.
Oh, I've got one for this.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got one. Pick one off YouTube.
Someone has pointed out that because at some point we questioned whether or not depicting Native Indian people as troglodytic monsters, cannibals, was all that necessary in the 2020s. And we were like, oh, that could be problematic. Somebody's just gone, so according to your logic, Midsummer is racist because it's based on Northern culture.
Northern culture.
I'm assuming they mean Birmingham.
Do they mean Nordic?
Manchester.
Do they mean Nordic?
I think they mean Nordic.
Okay.
But what they've done is they've gone Northern.
Right.
And they assume that just pie bombs have got pubes in them. I'm guessing.
Maybe. Maybe. They do love a good balm.
They do love a good pube balm. Now, I'm going to see if I can find...
You try and find another one. I'm going to dip into this one real quick because this one made me chuckle the other day. So, a food blogger on Instagram left a comment on our reel where we're talking about funny games.
Right, okay.
Michael Haneke's remake of Michael Haneke's funny games. And this food blogger just put... Americans should stop remaking these brilliant movies. This doesn't look as good as the original by Michael Haneke. So I put, hold on one sec. I put, this remake is by Michael Haneke though. And then he put, oh yeah. But I think he should have left it at the first one. And I was like, it didn't hit the audience he wanted it to. The message didn't get heard. He remade it in English so it has a bigger appeal. It is a literal shot for shot remake of his original film.
By him.
By Michael Haneke.
Yeah.
And then I had to correct myself because I put shot for shit instead of shot for shot. So I felt like a bit silly then. But then he doubles down because after I've done this, he goes on to comment. He goes on to back up someone else who's commented being sort of like, oh, I like the original better, which is fine because that guy had nothing to do with any of this.
Right.
And he put, bro, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to be that guy. Hollywood should stop remaking classics. And this is after I've already explained that it's a Michael Haneke remake of a Michael Haneke film.
The original man making his film again for the audience. Yeah.
So I've done this. And then he leaves that comment after the fact. So then I reply, Michael Haneke remade this though. To which the original commenter was like, yeah, I know. I've seen them both. I like them both. I'm not saying the remake is bad, just that the original is superior in my opinion. And I'm like, buddy,
that's a rational
each
thing.
To your own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's fucking awesome. At least you have not just wandered onto a fucking random reel and gone, yeah, so Russians are invading the moon. They're not though, are they?
I've got a slightly different one here that I've
found. Hit me with it.
When we covered the lovely director, Alex Garland, there's a scene at the start of one of his films, Warfare, where some soldiers are just dancing to a little clip of Eric Prydz' Call on And you've just got a little reaction, right, where you're dancing along and then it cuts to you at the end of the film.
Yeah.
And somebody, speaking of going back in your hole, just found that little footage of you having a lovely time.
Yeah.
And just went, just ignore this video and look at this motherfucker up there being weird.
That is high praise.
That's high praise.
That's high praise.
That is high praise.
That might be my favourite comment that we've ever gotten ever.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Now, that's Comment Corner Gang, and we would hope it's obvious how you can get involved and maybe hear us dive into your thoughts about the movies we're covering. Just find us on your social media of choice.
Ignored everything. It was just all like, that guy's weird.
That guy's weird.
That guy's weird.
Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, my one lung. Just edit that out.
That's it. I can't. That's it. It's the end of the show.
That is. Thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Go and watch The Toxic Avenger. I can't talk.
Go watch the new Toxic Avenger.
Thank you.
We have hopefully spoken about both the original and the remake with enough warmth to know that you're not going to be shocked out of your shoes.
Shocked. Schlocked out of your shoes.
It's schlocky, but it's fun and it's intentionally stupid. And if you go in there with that attitude and you don't have a good time, I will give you your money back.
I won't. I will double down and charge you again. Boom, boom, boom.
The circle of life.
And that's just capitalism. Yeah. Welcome to Ben's TED Talk on economics. Join us next week for Troll 2.
Troll 2,
yes, that was
baby.
A voice break. No, we can't edit it out. Fuck you, I am 36. Head on over to our Patreon for this extra section, which we're about to record right now. We love you all so very, very much.
We really, really do. We will see you next week. Ben is going to just very quickly, for everybody, wrap up the thoughts, themes and feelings of the original 1984 Toxic Avenger into a Monday motivational pep talk
How?
To help you get you through your week, while I just tell you to do what society always tells everyone to do and just consume.
Listen, right. Toxic Avenger convinced a blind woman who was living in a perfectly apt apartment to move to a toxic waste dump where she stumbled around open vats of toxic waste. She had 150 sticks. I don't know what they're properly called, but I'm not going to try and guess because that might be offensive. She was decorating, which is insane considering she was blind. And then he looks like the way he does.
He does,
and
yeah.
Still manages to coax a woman out of the city to live in the dump. If that doesn't tell you to work on yourself...
All right, fuck off.
I don't know what does.
You have to end it with a personal attack.
I don't know what does.
You looked me right in the fucking eye.